we're doing Drashot Aran, and the Ran has been discussing with us that the whole is greater than its components, than its parts. And the Ran has brought the Medrash about the frankincense, that our sages say that the frankincense on its own does not impart a good smell, but when we give all the spices together, then we get the correct spot, the correct incense, so to speak, the correct burning of the Ketores. And from here our sages derived that the Jewish people need to be whole. Even the sinners, even the bandit, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, when we want to approach our Creator, God wants us unified. And that unification means even with the sinners. God says, if you come before me on a day of fast and you're alone and the sinners didn't attend shul, you didn't invite them, you didn't ensure that they're with you, so then God says, you're lacking. They're lacking? Yeah, they have to fix their ways. But you, because they're not a part of your congregation, so you're not a whole congregation, and you yourself are lacking. This concept we derive from the Torah. So the Ran said, you see, that the whole, when we have everyone together, that's greater than each component. I alone, well, I'm me. Him alone, he's him. God says, yeah, you want to come before me as a whole? So then you have to have the whole congregation together. And the Ran went on to say that we find this in nature, that when you have different components together, they can be something that's much greater. You take the human body and you break it down to its chemicals, you get about $80-$90 worth of chemicals. A human being can perform much more than that. The Ine says the Ran, Zekulo, this concept, even though the nature, when we look around at the nature around us, it seems to validate this concept. And we seem to have support for it from the words of our sages. If we analyze it, we're going to realize that this concept is very strange. And it seems to be the exact opposite from the basic logic of the book of Ecclesiastes. Kihu, for Ecclesiastes, Pasakadin b'tchilat sifo, he, so to speak, decreed at the beginning of his work, heyot kol hanimtzaim shetachta yarech hevel, that all matter, everything that's on this planet, is all vain, uvilti ba'alei kiyum ma'amada, and it won't last. It's everything is finite and vain. That's Ecclesiastes' beginning, middle, and end. So, v'achag ze oto zot, pochech oto b'rayot, and after he begins with this concept, so Ecclesiastes proves the point. And the basic rule that all his proofs are predicated upon, the different things are, their components are things that transform, they change. The assumption that Ecclesiastes has is that the whole has the characteristics of its components. For Ecclesiastes mentions all the basic elements. And being that all the elements do not last, they are not eternal. The only one that lasts, Ecclesiastes says, V'hu yisod ha'aretz, is the most basic element, earth. V'hu omro, and that's what Ecclesiastes says, v'aretz l'olam omadet, only the earth remains eternal. So everything else is finite. Everything else is not going to last. And being that everything is composed of everything else, right? We're working with ancient philosophy that there are four basic components, fire, water, air, air, and fire, water, air,
earth,
right? Fire, water, air, earth. So the only one that's going to last is the earth. And then Ecclesiastes goes on to explain that the other three basic elements, that together they give a wholeness to the thing that's composed of them. That being that all the things, men, animals, everything is composed of these, being that these change, they transform, so man cannot be eternal. And he began with discussing the basic element of fire. And he mentions fire by mentioning the sun. He says the sun rises, the sun sets. The only thing that remains is the earth. And he's referring to the fact that energy, fire, passes. And even the energy within man, that passes.
Disperse.
The Ran isn't going with disperse, he's going with transforms and is mobile. And once it's mobile, so it's not infinite. And then he discussed the wind. As Ecclesiastes says, the wind revolves, and ultimately it doesn't last. And then he spoke about the basic element of water, as he says, the rivers flow to the sea. They're flowing, they're moving, they're transient, they're not eternal. What we see from Ecclesiastes' words, the being that all things that were created, even though they were created from basic elements, they transform and they are deficient. So if the components have deficiencies, then the thing that they compose, the whole, must have those deficiencies as well. We just began by saying that the whole is greater than its parts and does not necessarily have to have the characteristic deficiencies of the components. That was the concept the Ran had proven until now. And Kohelet seems to be predicated, his whole logic seems to be predicated on the exact opposite. That being that the components have deficiencies, so the thing they compose must also have deficiencies. And once Ecclesiastes proves this from these claims, so he proved it also from what we see, that the things tend to follow the path of their components, and they end up like them, that things are constantly transforming and you're changing and exchanging. So it turns out that Shlomo's words, King Solomon's words, seem to contradict our principle. The Yun Gam can exhaust them, and if we think into it, we'll also see that this makes sense. If you have something that has either an advantage or a deficiency, if you take something else and you put them together, so together, if they both have that deficiency, then they're worse. Take two students in class. One cheats, the other cheats, and I have more cheating going on in class. Whenever you have two components that are both lacking, so they strengthen that lacking. If they both have a strength, they'll both strengthen the strength. So it seems like we have a contradiction to what we said before. We wanted to say that when you take something that's lacking and you put it together with other things, so then the whole is greater and the whole can, so to speak, cover up for the lackings of a component. And now we're seeing from Koheles that no, when things are lacking, then they'll bring down the whole group. If you're on a soccer team and you have a weak goalie, so you lose. You don't say, well, the rest of the team is good. No, it doesn't work. He's bad, so the team loses. So we have a contradiction. We begin by saying, no, you have a team, so each one can cover up for the other one. And now we see that there are indications that each one pulls the other one down. You don't say that each one covers for the other. So how does this work? But tshuva bazeh. So now the Ran is beginning the answer, which we'll see the beginning today, and we'll continue next week. Bezat Hashem. Ki en safek shebechpel apratim hamasmichim hamaskimim letchuna achat im chitut. You guys want to continue to the answer, or we'll stop here and see the answer next week?
Appropriate is the answer.
I think, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Next week it's a too large break.
Okay, so the answer, says the Ran, that undoubtedly, when you have different components, that they all have the same tendency, imchitut imala, being whether it's a lacking or it's a strength, techapel v'techezakna hatzunahi, then they reinforce and fortify that characteristic. So if two students both have the tendency to be cheaters, so then yeah, you have a problem that they're both in the same class. If they both have the same lacking, so then they strengthen, they fortify one another.
And
And that's why our sages warned us. They said a person should try to have good company. B'omran, as our sages instructed, uknei lecha chaver, acquire a friend. What are they, why are they stressing to acquire a friend? Because if you acquire a friend, then hopefully he's going to fill you in on the things that you're lacking. That's what King Solomon said in his wisdom. Two are better than one. For if they fall, so when one guy stumbles, his friend will help him get up. And then King Solomon went on to say, and if they lie down, so then they'll warm up one another. What King Solomon is indicating is that when we have companionship, it's something that is beneficial. Regardless of whether I am focused on helping you out or not, the mere fact that we're in it together automatically has advantages to both of us. It's impossible that we're both going to be working in the same direction and we won't have an advantage from it. Take a simple example. You walk into the Beis Medrash. I once learned in the Beis Medrash that was a pretty empty place. And I remember one of the things I felt badly about was that if I showed up late at 9 o'clock in the morning, I was still first. So I feel like I'm a big maset. I'm sitting and learning alone. Everyone else is showing up later than me. So when you walk into the Beis Medrash here, there could be another guy learning. You walk in at 6:30 and there's someone there learning. It automatically makes you feel, okay, I'm not the best here. He's not working to help you. But the mere fact that you're both working within the same system automatically means you're going to gain something from one another. He turns around, he sees that someone else learning. It strengthens him. There are many situations, and that's what Shlomo Amel says. If two lie down together, they'll both be warmer. No one's focusing on warming the other one. But the mere fact that they're both involved in the same action is automatically going to cause them to have benefits. That's why King Solomon stressed, if two lie down, they'll be warm. And the simple reading of this seems strange. King Solomon went in two stages. He began by saying that if two people are trying to help one another, then they will have great benefit. And that's why King Solomon said, they'll have good wages for their work. For if one falls, the other one will help them stand up. Then King Solomon went on to say, he said, and not only when one is working to help the other do they gain, but even if they're not working to help one another, they gain. That's why he gave the example from something we could sense. So naturally, we'll each gain from the heat of one another, the mere fact that we're together. And we know that when you're with a person, so you automatically become like them. If you're going to be a lot of time with people that curse, so the first time you bang your finger when you're banging a nail, the first thing that'll come to mind is a curse word. You say to yourself, wait, every time they were cursing, I was thinking it's bad. Right, but when we're with people, we tend to be like them. When you're with people that are nice and kind and gentle, you end up being nice and kind and gentle. More or less, but it affects us. That's why sometimes you see spouses. After a few years, you start hearing them talking like one another. They don't notice it, but the mere fact that you're together, so it affects one another, even when we don't mean to affect one another. So the mere fact that we're together, automatically we help one another, and it has nothing to do with helping one with intending to help one another. That's what King Solomon gave two examples. Two are better than one, King Solomon said. If one helps, the other one helps him up. If one falls, the other one helps him up. And if they lie down together, they're warm. King Solomon was going to say, if two are working to help one another, certainly they're better. If they're not working, they're still going to be better off. And so too, and this you guys I'm sure will understand very well, if you have two really, really good friends and they trust one another, even if they're just sitting together and they're not talking, sitting down and sipping a cup of coffee, we're not saying a word. The mere fact that I'm with you and you're with me and we're together here makes us each feel better. Deshar Ezoto. And certainly, people know that you're with me, so then they won't want to start up with me. I mean, you're a big guy. So, we're working towards the answer. The Ran said that when you multiply things that have the same tendency, so then certainly it strengthens that tendency. And then the Ran is going to go on to discuss that when you have different tendencies, so that's when we can start covering up for one another. That's what we discussed, that on a soccer team, each one can cover up for the other one's weakness, to an extent. And that's where we're going to go on next week. Because Hashem, it's a long answer, we won't get to finish it, but among the things we're going to discuss in this answer is a deeper understanding of the Dora Palaga, the generation that were scattered around earth, in their building. They were all unified, they were building the Tower of Babylon, and why they were punished and why that was their punishment, that's where we'll get to Bezat Hashem next week. So what we saw today was the Ran said that we seem to have a contradiction to the concept that the whole is better than its components from Ecclesiastes. And it seems that when you have lackings, so two are worse than one. And then he went on to say that the beginning of the answer is that when two have the same characteristic, then they fortify that characteristic, and we'll see where he goes from there.